Hello and welcome to another Movie Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. And I'm here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. And you can find our written reviews at ReviewandRoast.com. Just Google Review and Roast and you'll find our Instagram and our everything else and our Facebook and our Snapchats. And we don't even use that, but we have it for some reason. Anywho. Today we're here to talk to you about the new Marvel movie, Black Panther. Yay! Sorry. Mm-hmm. Getting the page ready. So, let's see. T'Challa, after the death of his father, the King of Wakanda, returns home to the isolated, technologically advanced African nation to succeed to the throne and take his rightful place as king. If you will remember, that was that Civil War?
Yes.
Well, yes. So if you remember in Civil War, they're at the meeting or whatever, and it gets blown up, and the then king is killed, and T'Chaka, yes, what you said, T'Chaka, mm-hmm. He was killed, and so now this is basically the aftermath of that, where T'Challa heads back home to take on the role of king. Now, here's the thing, maybe you'll know, because I didn't exactly know this before. So if the current king is usually the one who is the Black Panther, when did his father pass that on to T'Challa and not?
That I don't actually really know as far as any lore would go. If I was a guessing man, which I am, I guess all the time at stuff, I would say that as T'Chaka got older in age, he retained the throne, but passed on the mantle of protecting the nation as Black Panther to his son, the heir to the throne.
I guess that would kind of make sense. I don't know.
Like, before passing the throne, you know what I mean? His father was still the diplomat, blah, 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 blah. If I was easily guess and an easy explanation that leaves less butthurt for everybody. I mean, there's maybe there is a comic out there that explained it. Maybe there's not. Maybe T'Chaka died and then he became the Black Panther a long time ago. I'm not sure, to be honest. But if I had to guess, that's my thought on the matter is, as T'Chaka aged, he passed it over.
What? He turned into what's-his-face from
Red Sanford?
No, god damn it. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm. Murtaugh.
Yeah, Murtaugh, thank you. Here. Murtaugh list.
Here's my dad, Captain Murtaugh.
Yeah, so anywho, he goes back to Wakanda, and part of the ritual, I guess, for taking over the throne is, Wakanda was basically made up of 5 tribes, and 4 of them decided to live together and work together and protect Wakanda, and the 5th tribe, we're probably going to catch hell for it, but I can't remember their name, but they decided, we want nothing to do with you, we're going to go live in the mountains and whatever. So they're starting a ceremony, everyone's doing their thing, and he's like, alright, so if anybody wants to challenge T'Challa, for the right to the throne of Wakanda, basically speak now or shut the fuck up. And everyone's like, yeah, we have no... So the 4 tribes are like, yeah, we have no challenger. And then you start hearing basically these Tim the Toolman grunts coming from mm-hmm. out of nowhere. And then these dudes, the size of houses, come walking out of the mountains. And I was like, oh, shit, son. Something's about to happen. And the tribe that went to live in the mountains are all about 97 feet tall.
Yeah. I think that was M'Baku.
Yeah, that sounds right. Honestly, not 97 feet tall. I'm obviously being, exaggerating a bit. But these dudes were huge.
Yeah, they're very large mountain men in Africa.
Yeah.
It's they're the business. Like, they didn't come...
They didn't come to play around.
Yeah, they're not in the sewing circle.
So he's like, yeah, we're done with your hippie bullshit. I want the seat. this is my time. And so he challenges T'Challa for the throne. He accepts the challenge, and then they remove the Black Panther from him, and a fight ensues.
Right. So basically, he takes like some type of potion that then strips him of the Black Panther power, which is heightened sense, strength, speed, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Basically, it's an herbal Captain America formula that they give him to be the Black Panther, and then they have the antidote, let's call it, for that.
Yes.
So.
Basically, let's get down to it. What gives him the Black Panther powers is an herb that is grown in the mountains, and because of the vibranium that crashed in from space thousands of years ago, it enhances this herb that will turn someone into the Black Panther. And it's not just like one person can do it. Like, if anyone gets their hands on that shit, they can do it too.
Right.
So he's challenged for the throne. And honestly, like, you can tell that the guy from the other tribe was fighting angry because he made some pretty glaring mistakes in the fight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wound up losing.
He did good. He had T'Challa on his back for a second.
Oh yeah.
Up against the ropes. I mean, he's a big dude.
He was cocky, though.
But he surprisingly turns out to be one of the characters I like more as we talk about this movie. So
yeah,
I thought him and his tribe were actually super fun.
Oh yeah, they're awesome. So he, you know, they lose. They go back into the mountain, never to be seen again until the next challenge, I guess. So T'Challa becomes the rightful king, and it's a little, you know, a little weird, you know, something. Obviously, you even if you prepare for something your whole life, it's going to be weird when it finally happens. So his first couple of, you know, his first day, he's out and about, you know, meeting and greeting some of his, you know, the people. He's talking to some of his friends.
Before we get right there, yeah, let's cut back to the part where, so after the ritual, or after the challenge ritual, comes the reinstating of the Black Panther power ritual, which is heavily explained now, because now you see exactly what they do. There's kind of a, I don't want to call it like witch doctory, but it's got a little bit of a feel of, you know, we're doing some stuff. We got to put him in the sand, and then they bury him and they give him the stuff. And he basically goes to another plane. And when he gets there, he sees a bunch of panthers in the tree. And one of them hops down and manifests itself into his father, and they have a pretty good heart-to-heart talk, which actually was one of my favorite scenes in, honestly, the whole movie. There's a ton of fight scenes and all that stuff, but him getting a chance to basically talk to his dad, he tells his dad, I'm not ready, this, that, and the other thing. And they really have, like, a good moment, which actually sets up for later disappointment, I guess, is the best way to put that.
Yeah.
So, all right, your turn. Because basically you're going to get to Claw.
Eventually, yes. Yep. That's exactly where I'm headed. Mm-hmm. So, well, basically, let's rewind here a little bit. The movie opens up in the 1980s in, like, Oakland, California.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there's these dudes in the apartment, and they're, like, planning
a heist. I think it was 92.
They're planning a heist or whatever, and all of a sudden, knock on the door. Partner goes and looks. He's like, dude, it's like
two Grace Jones looking.
Yeah.
MFers.
Yeah, standing here holding spears. He's like, open the door. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, they ain't gonna knock again. So he opens the door, and then that was...
Grace Jones is just such a great reference from, like, the 90s, like, right. Because who didn't, like, she was, like, the baddest bitch there was, man. Like, man. Shit. All right, go ahead.
So he opens the door, and then a young T'Chaka dressed as the Black Panther walks in, and the, you know, the main guy in the that was planning the heist, whatever, gets down and he's like, oh my god, hey King, I'm sorry, blah blah. Because basically, what they did is they had spies all over the world to kind of, you know,
report. Just keep tabs on what's cracking, because they've been living in isolation for so long that they you know, they don't have CNN. So yeah.
Well, as far as the outside world is concerned, Wakanda is a third world country, but then if you go under the mask of, you know, the holographic trees, let's say, I mean, there's a futuristic city there. So that's going to be my next vacation, because it's probably true.
Yeah.
Anywho.
El Dorado, they called it.
Yeah. And then, so you find out at that point that this spy, who was actually T'Chaka's brother. He helped
Claw
actually steal some vibranium from Wakanda because, you know, he was sick of watching the world crumble around him, more or less. He's like, there's more that Wakanda can be doing on the global stage.
That's like, yeah, that's the whole, that's a big, huge part of this movie is that they, we'll get to it in a second. Just real quick before we get too far. Claw, for those who don't know, is the guy that gave the vibranium, basically, which is a plot hole that I'm not too happy about right now, to, help me out here, Ultron.
Okay.
Ultron got the vibranium from him. Chopped off his arm. He's got a new fancy one now. It's pretty dope.
Yep.
But he also like gave him like $9 billion in that movie, if you recall. So Claw being kind of involved in some shady stuff over like a hatchet full of vibranium, meh. I was kind of like, meh. Like, I get it because Claw's actually a big part of like the lore of the comics. He's like the one of the, you know, non-powered bad black arms guys, and he really is. But realistically, in that movie, they sort of set him up as, like, you're retired, dude. Like, I think you're all right. Anyways, that's my thought about that.
I guess.
But basically, when Claw went and got that vibranium, he got the information from T'Chaka's brother.
Yes.
To get him vibranium to help power their, let's call it a rebel uprising throughout the world, not in Wakanda, outside of Wakanda. So basically, he didn't want to mess with the throne or nothing. He just wanted to go do some stuff and help some people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it got into a little bit of the whole, it got a little into our oppressed people-ish, but wasn't as heavy as you'd be led to believe.
Yeah. Oh, God, no. I don't even have TV, and that's all I've been hearing about. And it's not a thing, really.
Yeah.
Can we please drop it?
Yeah. There's only one case that I legitimately have a huge problem with as far as that, and we'll get to that at the very end.
Okay. So, fast forward back to here. So, he's walking around, and, you know, he's talking to, I think it was Wakabi, right? Or was it? Yeah, it was Wakabi.
Yeah. Wakabi's like his buddy.
Yeah, they seem like
he's T'Challa's buddy,
old buddies. You know what I mean?
But his parents were killed in the Claw attack that stole all the vibranium.
Correct.
So that sets up the whole stage. Is all honestly, they find out about Claw. Claw's alive. We know where he is. Sort of. He stole a little vibranium axe from someplace, and we got to go get him and get the vibranium. Which again, it's thin. It's razor thin as far as I'm concerned. Claw's motives in being involved in such a small-time caper, let's say. It's about 2.5 pounds of vibranium. I know that might be very much, but...
When you're a billionaire.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's made his money. What happened to all the Ultron vibranium, first of all?
It was confiscated by the Avengers, you would think.
You would think so, but again, I'd be more worried if I was Wakanda about what happened to all that shit. That guy took 2 tons of vibranium. Now, T'Chaka told everybody, the previous king told everybody that Claw stole all the vibranium, which was not even a little true, like, not even, like, they didn't even dent the meteorite yet.
Yeah.
So, and we're doing stuff. So, all right. Sorry.
Yeah. So, anyway, he's talking to Wakabi. And basically what it is on the outskirts of Wakanda, that's where you have like all your little farming villages and all your fronts, basically, to make it look like a third world country. Like, he's just a rhino farmer. You know what I mean? Come to find out later, those are some war rhinos, and they're fucking dope.
Yeah, they're a little bigger than regular. Yeah, they're bigger anyways. Yes. And B, when you give them vibranium armor, they're
badass.
They're all right. Not bad.
But again, that's a much, much later fight. So Wakabi is basically like, look, they're both sitting there just kind of bullshitting about this. He's like, yeah, man, whatever. And then all of a sudden, both of their little communicators go off, and he's like, oh, why does she want to see both of us? Mm-hmm. So this must be serious. So they head back to, I guess, what you would call headquarters, basically the main science building, I guess, what it seems like in Wakanda. And that's where they're informed that Claw is has robbed a museum, of which was a great scene, by the way. It's where you also first see Michael B. Jordan, who plays Killmonger. Mm-hmm. I forget what his name was in the movie.
Eric,
yes. So he's like, okay, and we've got the intel that, you know, tomorrow night in South Korea, there's a deal going down. So then, you know, that's basically when Wakabi turns to T'Challa and he's like, look, man, like, no offense, but that's where your father fucked up. He never caught Claw.
Yep.
This means the world to me, and as my friend, as my king, either kill him on the spot or bring him back to Wakanda.
Yeah.
And he's like, I give you my word, yep, I will make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, fast forward 2.5 hours, he's still the king. No?
Yep.
Yeah, so anywho.
Well, that's going to get to my secondary razor-thin plot of this movie. So, first of all, the Claw thing is thin. I get it.
What you said four times
already. I'll live with it. It's fine. Okay. Secondarily, the Claw thing, as pertains to bring him in, becomes thin as well. So let's just cut to the chase. They go to get Claw. It's a failed attempt. The reason it's a failed attempt is because Killmonger steps in and snatches Claw from the grasp of T'Challa. So T'Challa had him. Claw grabs him, or I'm sorry, Killmonger grabs him, takes him, and basically goes back to Wakanda. Well, let's pause a second. T'Challa goes back to Wakanda and has to tell his buddy, look, he slipped through our fingers, blah, blah, blah. He goes off and talks with Nakia. They're hanging out or whatever. Well, lo and behold, Killmonger walks up, and spoilers, he's got Claw, who's seen better days, and basically is like, hey, look, your king can't do this shit. Look what I did. And everyone's like, oh, this guy, look at him doing stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you forgot to tell him that the king had him, and you're the one that took him, stupid. You know what I mean? Like, T'Challa could have at any point in time been like, hey, we had him. He broke him out. He's the guy that went and stole the stuff with him. He's been his partner the whole time and double-crossed him himself. Like, he's... What?
I don't know.
I didn't love that part in particular. I would have rather
seen... I don't know if he knew that he stole the stuff in the
first
place.
He did because he saw the ring around his neck. That's how he knew exactly who he was.
Was that... That was when he took
him...
When he broke him away.
When he broke him out.
Right, but he doesn't know that he stole the vibranium from the museum. All he knows is he ripped him out of the casino. Well, either...
In any case,
no, I know.
Wouldn't matter where he knew him from.
Right.
Basically, we had him. He stole him. Then he brought him here. Like he's the one that caught him. You didn't catch him. You broke him out of jail and brought him here.
Right.
Basically, that's the thin part where T'Challa could have been like, "Yeah, dude. The reason I recognize this guy right now is because he's the dude that I had him. We had him.
Right.
Now we don't have him.
But he also
he's the guy that took him." So
see, he didn't want to say anything, though, because at that point he had already talked to his father again.
And got the scoop.
He didn't talk to his father. He talked to...
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, I'm looking for movie names.
Forrest Whitaker.
Zuri.
Yep.
He talked to Zuri, who was basically almost like a high priest at this point, it seems.
Yeah, like. he's like the... I call him more of the wise man, but yeah.
And so he talked to him and got the scoop on Eric, and he was like, well, this is kind of what it really
is. Here's kind of the real deal of what happened in Oakland 20 years ago,
right.
30 years ago, whatever it is.
So
25 years ago.
Part of that, I think, was he, because now he knows who Killmonger really is, and he knows that, you know, this could be an upsetting thing. So he was trying to find a way to dance around it without everybody finding out who he was. Long story short, everyone found out who he was pretty quickly. And this is the part that kind of like, this is where my issue came in. So it's made up of, you know, the four tribes or whatever, and they've lived in straight up peace and harmony for hundreds of thousands of years. They find this out, and then half of them turn on the king like that.
Oh yeah, that was actually, yeah, the whole thing with his friend, what was his name?
Wakabi.
Wakabi. Yeah, Wakabi literally does like a 180 in like 2 seconds. He doesn't even ask like, what's up? He was actually already done with T'Challa before Killmonger shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And then Killmonger magically shows up at Wakabi's tribe. Because Wakabi's basically one of the four tribal leaders, let's call it. And his tribe, like, that's where Killmonger shows up. So it's all a little convenient. Again, I get it. I'm not trying to over nitpick things. It might sound like I am a little bit, but I just thin plots is aggravating to me sometimes when you have this deep, deep comic lore for this guy. I mean, yeah. Killmonger has been around forever. It's like the Iron Man's Mandarin, who we've never even seen on the screen, and is the one of the best villains there is. Killmonger is awesome.
No, I'm saying,
we saw the bullshit one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which was like,
everyone was so excited for it until they saw the movie and they're like, really?
Till it was really like not even
that's
close.
What you did with literally what could be considered Iron Man's Joker.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, well, and Mandarin has ties to even to Killmonger, as a matter of fact. And spread out, you know, a lot of those comic villains aren't just somebody's villain. You know, they span the gambit. Mandarin's had epic battles with Doctor Strange, with lots of different characters. So he's a big villain and just crafty, and I'd like to see a real thing. Same with this Killmonger. He's done some stuff.
Yeah.
He's been a pretty decent guy a lot of times as well in comics. In the comic lore, originally T'Challa invites him back to Wakanda himself. That's how it happens. But anyways, not really overly important right now. What is important is he comes back. We find out that he's actually a blood relative and is allowed to challenge in combat, which actually does happen in the comics, as a matter of fact. So I'll allow it. But and that was actually all well and good. He also wastes literally zero time, which I get it. The movie's 2 hours long, so we gotta speed it up a bit.
Yeah,
I get it. But I mean, he doesn't even like. I mean, he literally had his butt in a chair for about 30 seconds. It was like, yeah, like the shit's popping.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I didn't like about his origin was, I'm going to phrase this properly, he was a little too not African and super urban because of his upbringing. And in the comics, he's actually born in Wakanda. So kind of, I mean, I get it to a degree. So it was...
It helps to push the we need to arm the oppressed around the world if he's actually lived out.
Grew up, yeah. So, I'll allow it. I'm not opposed to creative origin rebirths because it's overly prevalent in every movie that happens because it's just easier to tell a quick story than talk about the 30-year history of Killmonger and T'Challa.
Yeah.
So I get it. Short and sweet. So I'm fine with that. So moving on. So basically, get for the challenge. He wants to be the top dog. Yada, yada, yada. He challenges him to combat. It's to the death or to a yield. And then we get back to the mountain tribe, which is my favorite part.
God, I feel like we're jumping past a lot of awesome stuff here.
What's awesome? I mean, I don't want to get into too much shit.
No, no,
I agree. I mean, yeah, here. I mean,
we've barely talked about Nakia. We haven't mentioned Shuri at all.
Oh yeah, his sister. Yeah, his sister is basically head of the let's just Science say R&D division. Department. Yeah. So she's the one that makes all the cool stuff. There's you know, they got a new shock absorbent suit that takes kinetic energy and can store it for later. Yada yada, some other good stuff. So yeah, I mean, I don't think we. I mean, unless there's something in particular you want to really, like, delve down. Nakia is his ex-girlfriend who's kind of like, let's just say, one of the spies that goes around town. She's pretty tough. She's pretty hot. Whatevs.
Well, that's one
Okoye,
of the things.
Though, the general of the army, which the guard is all females and not to be trifled with, and she's the main one. And she goes on the mission with him, which is actually hilarious because she's wearing like a wig to blend in, and she hates it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I like her bald headed, but she was pretty hot with her little dress on. But anyway, I'm just rambling now.
Well, the main reason that, you know, I
actually,
feel like
man,
we skipped.
She did some good ass whipping.
She did. She was fucking awesome.
That's spear work. Like, she's got a serious spear. And, yeah, it's not just like, we're not just lobbing them over fences here. We're actually, like, doing some high karate.
Right.
I mean, shit was, serious business.
Right.
I think that casino scene might be one of the better scenes for good action in a minute. Like, it was pretty good.
Well, rewind it back a little bit here with M'Baku. When he first challenged T'Chaka for the thing, one of his things was, you know, about the way Wakanda's being, led and treated and the way they're going mm-hmm. into the future. And she's, more or less, he's like, and your science division is run by a woman. Well, it's run by Shuri, who is T'Challa's sister. She's, like we said, the head of science. She's developed all his suits, all the weapons, and this really kind of awesome virtual fucking driving thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It was basically, it's like a virtual hack. So she can hack devices and equipment or vehicles and basically put herself in the driver's seat. Yeah. Or at the terminal or what have you. And super fun.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And, the character's
what a great actress, too.
Letitia Wright, right? Yeah, that's part of the reason I wanted to.
She's been in some stuff?
She has been in all kinds of stuff.
I recognize the face.
Well, she was in one episode of Doctor Who, which I actually just watched.
Yeah, here we go.
She's going to be in Ready Player One. She's done a lot of TV. She's on Black Mirror. She was on Humans. She was on Cucumber.
Humans?
Yeah.
That's where I know her.
Yeah, she's done a lot of TV, which is neat. But, yeah, she was
I can't fantastic. Believe that's where I know her from.
Yeah, she's a...
I literally just finished Humans.
Yeah, she's great.
Crap.
I
knew I knew her face from somewhere. She's got a... I don't want to typecast her here, but she looks a lot like Rihanna to me. I don't know. When I see her face on IMDb, she looks like Rihanna.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's just me. Yeah, she's in a ton of stuff, though.
Yeah.
I dig her.
Anywho, fast forward. So now that we have... Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger, mm-hmm. in charge of the throne. Like you said, he wastes no time to put stuff in motion.
He also wastes no time doing push-ups.
Right?
Yeah, he looks...
I mean, he was...
He might look stronger than he did in Creed, and he was a lean, mean fight. He doesn't look as lean as he did in Creed, but he's bulkier than he was in Creed.
He's straight up beefy.
Yeah, no, he's... he's a slab of... Right. Yeah, choice cut. No, he is, though, man. He's...
Yeah.
Man, like, not to be fucked with.
Yeah.
Like, Chadwick looks great, but, yeah, Michael B. Jordan is just a... But, again, now, Killmonger's character in the comics is a monster. Like, I mean, natural monster. So, yeah, he really looks a lot more the part... than originally I thought he did. And once he got into Wakanda and was out of walking around in jeans and a t-shirt, like, I'm like, all right, I'm into this guy now for real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that I wasn't. I actually really think that that Michael B. Jordan did a fantastic job, and I want to get into this next part immediately.
Well, I mean, I don't want to gush over the guy all day, but like, I've been kind of a fan of Michael B. Jordan since I first seen him, and that was probably back in the Streetvale Station.
Yeah.
I honestly did not see Fantastic Four, even though I did want to. I watched Creed like a million times. This kid is, I mean,
I actually going thought he places, was,
you know what I mean?
To be honest, I thought he was, he and the girl that played Susan Storm were the only redeeming things of the Fantastic Four movie, in my opinion. But
I thought we were going to talk about Creed a little bit. But
no, we can talk about Creed all day. I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, like.
Where's Creed 2?
I don't know.
BT Dubs? Like, you know what? What's up?
Let's check really quick.
Yeah, look him up. Maybe that's in. Maybe it's post-production.
That's
already
what I'm looking for. So, basically, I'm not going to sit here and pretend. Yeah, Creed 2 is in pre-production right now. I am not going to sit here and be like, I know everything about Black Panther. So clearly, Eric Killmonger is the villain here.
Right.
But when he finally, when he immediately took over the throne, I was like, man, Wakanda, I mean, they might need a leader like this because I don't know if I hate this. I mean, yeah, he's about to do some shitty things, but
yeah,
goddamn.
No, he's the business.
But yeah, so
It was just, and let me just reiterate again, though, the only problem I had with that was basically Killmonger's plan was, we're just going to give a ton of these awesome weapons just to everybody. And I'm like, kind of. But you sort of, I feel like this plan needs a week. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I get that we got to accelerate shit for the movies, but you could have let Black Panther be out cold for a week while this guy was making preparations. Or some, I mean, I get it.
Yeah,
he really
is standing there holding a spear going, this thing weighs next to nothing, and it can blow a hole in a tank. Goddamn, let's load up these transports and send
get 100 of these,
all of these
over
oppressed
to these people
all over the world.
And it's like, yeah, like, no offense, but that's why you don't just give, like, AK-47s to untrained people in the jungle, because you gotta, there's a little more involved than just give them weapons and they win.
Right.
I mean, no matter how good the weapon is, if somebody goes and takes it away from them, you know what I mean? Then they point it right back at them.
Right.
It's kind of a, yeah, you sort of need, I don't know if I, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. It's a movie. So I'm not going to, again, I'm not going to go overly bananas on it.
Right. Yeah.
So, okay.
So at this time, basically how Killmonger won is the fight is basically on top of a waterfall. He just chucks T'Challa over and says, that's that. Where's my crown, bitch? So basically one of the fishermen from M'Baku's tribe, he washes up on shore or washes up into their fishnet. So the tribe that lives in the mountains is secretly just kind of watching over T'Challa.
Well, actually, yes. But here's the best part of this whole story. So the mom and the sister and Nakia are basically, I keep calling her Nakia.
Nakia.
Are basically trying to escape the city. The city proper of whatever Wakanda's capital city is called, whatever right. It is. Anywho, they're trying to get out of there with their heads. Basically, during the escape, Killmonger is given the heart-shaped herb. And once it's done, he says, burn all this shit. Because there ain't going to be no more. They said, well, what about the next king? He's like, what?
What?
Like, I don't know if you know who this king is, but there ain't going to be another one. I get it. So as they're about to start burning it, Nakia grabs the herb, makes a run for it, catches up with Shuri and, crap, what's mom's name? Anyways, Angela Bassett, and who actually?
Ramonda.
Is amazing. Really, really, really good.
Oh, she kills it.
I mean,
there's no one in this movie that didn't
kill it. Yeah, I mean, she was really, really good. So anyways, they're making a run for it. They don't know what to do. They have this herb. Somebody needs to get rid of Killmonger. So as they're making a run for it, they say, you know what? We got to go to the mountain tribe, to M'Baku's tribe. They don't want to do it. They have a little internal struggle. She suggests that Nakia herself take the herb, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm not a warrior. Like this, like we gotta go see this dude."
Yeah.
So they go up to M'Baku. Oh, and they have
Martin Freeman.
Yeah. What's his name? Ross or something?
Yeah, he's with him the whole time because he took a bullet.
I keep forgetting about
because
that.
He took a bullet from Nakia previously and basically saved her life, or was it Shuri?
No, it was Nakia.
It was Nakia, yeah. So yeah. He took a bullet for her. So
Shuri,
now she
put her back together.
Right. So now she's like a little kind of overprotective of Everett.
Everett, yeah. Everett so Ross. She's actually, she appreciated it, obviously. Like he legit took a bullet. And he was sort of giving her the CIA business, you know, this, that, and the other thing. He was in, maybe it was Ultron or something, one of those movies. Super good job in this one. Kind of a dick. But kind of comes around to the right way of things. Really has an impact in the movie. So they all go up to
Civil War. He was in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I keep saying Ultron, but I keep confusing the two. So yeah, we go up to M'Baku's tribe in the mountains. Blah blah blah, and they basically plead to him, "Hey, look, here's the deal. T'Challa was beaten. We kind of need you here to, like, you know, help us out, guy. Like, you wanted to be the king. Like, why don't you go do some stuff?" He says, "Well, was he beaten fairly?" I said, "Well, yeah." He's like, yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you.
That's how this, like, shit works.
He's the king then. Whatevs. So they basically then present him with the heart-shaped herb. I don't know that they mention it's the last one, yada whatevs. Say, hey, look, here's this thing. We need you. You're the guy that has to have this, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to pause that story, and I'm going to get to Everett speaking while the grown-ups are speaking. And M'Baku basically starts barking at him or something. So every time he talks, everybody in the room barks at him. And then finally he shuts up and he says something to the effect of like whoever you are, like, you don't talk when you're in this room, or my children are going
to, I'm going to feed you to my children.
And everyone's like, what? And then he's like, no, I'm just kidding. We're vegetarians.
Meanwhile, they're all wearing fur living in the mountains, which that was one of the things on the IGN I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, how can you be vegetarians? Like, you ain't growing food up in the snowy mountains and you're all wearing fur. Do you just wait for the bear to die and then
gut maybe it? He's just that funny at making jokes.
I thought it was hilarious. You know what I mean? But I mean, that's something that I don't still think hilarious. Needs nitpicking.
Yeah, I don't think that was literally just because here's the deal with this movie. It ain't funny.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Well, I don't know that Iron Man was supposed to be funny, but this doesn't have the comedic effect of a Guardians of the Galaxy by any means.
No.
That's why some people didn't like it. That's why it's not as, I don't want to say family friendly, but there's just not a lot of jokes and laughs and giggles. There's no little Groot. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just an action movie with tons of drama. So anyways, long of the short, M'Baku says, well, I got to show you guys something. I appreciate the heart-shaped herb and all of this stuff, but come with me. They go over there. Hence, we find out the fisherman grabbed T'Challa. He's actually alive. Therefore, technically...
In a coma, though.
He's in a coma. Technically, he still hasn't lost the fight.
Right.
So, also technically, the challenge still isn't over. So, they take the last herb, give it to him, yada, yada, yada. We're going to go back to Wakanda, and... A Wakandan civil war breaks out, the end, right?
A Wakandan civil war that lasts all of about 35 minutes breaks out, the end.
Right, yeah, that's about it.
Well, that basically ends with...
we're trying to get the transports out. Killmonger's trying to get his plan going.
Well, that's...
And stuff.
That's okay, so in this last segment of the movie, you have Killmonger and Black Panther both suited up, both fighting. Awesome. Right. But on top of that, going back to Shuri, she's like... thrown onto warrior gear with Nakia and Oki. And meanwhile, while they're getting all their shit and they're grabbing the shit to hurry up and rush out there and start fighting, they're like, oh yeah, FYI, Everett, this is going to pop up. You're going to be the pilot and you got to shoot down those transports. Yeah. He's like, wait, what? What? What?
Yeah.
And then they all run out like, figure it out, fuck face. You know?
Yeah. It was literally like, pretty much that.
And then all of a sudden, as the hack starts on the one ship, it just kind of forms around. And she's like, I made it American style. And she's like running out the door to whoop some ass. And she does. Anywho, so he sits in this thing and he's like, because backstory on him, if you're not aware, they do mention it in the movie. He's an ex-fighter pilot. He's got a lot of experience with the military. And then he worked for the CEI now. So, but he can fly. He's a great pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He just hops in this thing and he starts flying around. And he's like, oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I get it.
That was awesome. But, the final fight, and this is where you get the war rhinos, which I totally need one. Mm-hmm. You get to see Michael B. Jordan and Chadwick Boseman both in two different garb. Well, because earlier in the movie, Shuri brought in T'Challa, and she's like, which suit do you want? It's all right, contained within the necklace. He's like, I'm going to go the modest classic route.
Yeah.
Whereas, of course, Killmonger's like, give me them gold, son.
Yeah.
Boom. And now he's got, oh man, it's kind of more badass, I think.
What?
It's like a black and gold instead of like black and like purple.
So when they store the kinetic energy, basically it gives you a glow of energy. T'Challa's is a deep purple and Killmonger's is like a yellow, like
gold?
A yellow gold glow. And when they disperse that energy, it's actually when they both awesome. Hit each other. Yeah. That was actually
that was dope.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, this fight scene was superb. It was really good. I just yeah.
And then the way it ended, again, I'm not gonna ruin anything.
I mean, we can.
The way they were doing it, like, because there
well,
was,
they explained earlier.
Right, I was gonna get to that. Yep. You know, Everett's like, I see all these that's like the hovering like magnetic trains. And he's like, I've never seen them so fast, so stable at that speed. And they're like, well, yeah, what we did. And then, you know, she's sure, like, yeah, he goes, like, breaks I'm it awesome. Down. She's like, I'm a fucking genius and vibranium is the shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also extremely unstable at that speed. So I built those things. So as it comes by, it kind of does this and it breaks down a little bit. And then it's kind of a thing.
Like a sonic dampener that basically makes the vibranium suits that the two Panthers are wearing not strong anymore.
It breaks down when
they're still physically strong from the heart-shaped herb.
Yes.
But their suit does not stop bullets and shit.
Yeah. So every time the train passes and the light and the lights or whatever turn on, their suits kind of start to
deteriorate,
break
down. Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, T'Challa uses that to his advantage. Let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I really 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 want to talk about that, cuz it's makes me so mad. So,
go ahead.
All right, so we can preempt it then, that if you don't want to know how the movie kind of ends, then don't listen. If you've already seen the movie and you want to talk some shit about the ending, now's your chance to listen. So,
if you want to talk shit, you can just sit there and listen, asshole. Yeah.
Well, there's, it's, I'm not necessarily talking shit, but here's the problem, all right, and not for nothing, but finally, possibly the best villain since everybody's favorite, the Winter Soldier, we have him. Like, Michael B. Jordan is a fantastic bad guy. I mean, he plays this Killmonger role well, although I might be displeased with the actual origins and some of the mannerisms of the character, he's still awesome. The problem that Marvel has is they straight up kill all the bad guys in all the movies all the time. The only one they didn't was Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
He's legit the only guy still alive. I mean, who else? I mean, they killed Zemo, for Christ's sakes. I mean, well, they didn't even do him proper in the first place, but he's another, like, that's like killing the Red Skull. I mean, it's Zemo and the Red Skull are, like, the two biggest bad guys in all of Captain America's life. I mean, shit. Anywho, point being, Winter Soldier survives, but he's actually most of the time a good guy anyways. So,
right.
Whatevs. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I legitimately, absolutely hate the fact that we have to lose these bad guys all the time for the movie to end. That's not how comic books work. I don't know if you've ever seen the Batman TV series, but he caught them every episode. And every other episode, the other one got away. I mean, that's how it is. That's how it's got to be. You gotta lock them up to get justice. You don't chop their heads off, you know, or whatever. And for all the love of Marvel movies and all the hate for DC movies, 50-50 in DC, they at least lock them up. I mean, they've killed a couple.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I don't know if this question's ever been posed. I know it hasn't been posed on this podcast.
Probably not.
Why are there never any solo villain movies? You telling me if they made a Joker movie or if they made a Killmonger movie, you wouldn't want to go see that?
I'd be the first guy at the theater see either one of those two movies, to be honest. Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. I think that'd be interesting.
I mean, the only time they attempted it was the Suicide Squad. And
that's, yeah, but that
was also semi-hated.
They're so. Also, you know, the lovable bad guys.
Yeah, but they screwed up the Suicide Squad by even adding the Joker at all, in my opinion. It made it too controversial. Everybody focused too much on that.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone hated the fact that he played the role he did. I don't know. Whatevs. But circling back, though, everyone loves these Marvel movies, and they straight up kill the bad guy every time. What do you got?
This Killmonger situation. Mm-hmm. From what I have seen on the interwebs, again, by no means am I up on the lore of Black Panther, But in the comics, Killmonger has come back from death mm-hmm. multiple times. So yep. maybe, because
it's not T'Challa, really how the movie lore has gone. And since there is no Mandarin who is responsible for bringing him back to life.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
You're a nerd.
I used to read all the Iron Man stuff. So then I really liked Mandarin.
T'Challa.
Because I like good bad guys.
You know, and that's where T'Challa was kind of, he had a soft spot for Killmonger.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to save him.
Right. He offered, and Killmonger's like, nah. We all know that. So just because he fell over doesn't mean he was, he did pull out the.
No, they did make him dead. But that getting back to that just real quick, that was sort of another thing that I really, 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 really didn't like was his direct reference to my ancestors being slaves. Ugh. I just thought it was a little tacky, especially since most of your ancestors are super rich Wakandans. Not trying to be a dick. You know what I mean? Right. 5 minutes ago, you were a king. So I think you fucked up. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I found that to be the only real racially charged tacky moment of the movie. And I might be a dick for saying that, but I don't think so. So that's all. I get it. But you were it's a fine line there with that because
for him, I think it was more of just African in general than it was just
Wakandan. And in the movie, his mom was from America. In the comics, he's let's call him 100% Wakandan. So his mom might have been African American of some other descent. So maybe one of his ancestors. I get it. So I do get it. And I'm not trying to make light of the situation. It was just like, don't know if I... That didn't really need to be the last words this guy said. You know what I mean?
That's all I think. I think the only thing that really...
He could have said it a different way. Like, I'd rather die in chains than... Or die than live my life in chains. He could have said something to that effect that didn't directly, like, implicate racism.
Anywho... The only other thing that I thought was kind of, I guess, is the best way to put it, was we've already talked about Wakabi's first absolute 180 almost right off the bat when he didn't catch mm-hmm. Claw, which, I mean, part of me gets because, you know, when you let the anger take over, you can do a lot of stupid things.
No, yeah, I totally see him getting pissed.
Okay, but, I mean, to take it as far as a civil war, maybe not. But then immediately, as he faces Okoye in battle because they're lovers, mm-hmm. he's like, "Are you really gonna kill me?" And she's like, "For Wakanda, I would absolutely kill you." He's like, "Oh, okay, boom, 180.
I'll probably quit."
You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, he didn't want to die.
I know, but.
There was a little difference. T'Challa was never going to kill him.
He didn't even argue.
She didn't come here to play tiddlywinks. Like,
I know.
She came here to chop heads off.
I feel like you were almost solely responsible for the civil war up in this piece.
Yeah, but it was also, if I'm not mistaken, he did take kind of a look around like...
What are we doing?
Shit's a little out of hand. I think we're losing anyways. You know what I mean? So...
And I don't want to talk about why they were losing, but it was awesome.
Yeah, there was a lot of awesome stuff. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much about it. You may not agree with some of the story. There might be some thin
parts. No, yeah, and like I said, the thin parts, I'm not shaving like 6 points off the movie because of, you know, razor thin areas. the movie still was fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody planning on going to see this movie and thinking it's an upbeat action film like Guardians of the Galaxy with a couple hints of drama sprinkled about the middle and end. This ain't that. This is a action drama.
Yeah.
More or less. I mean, yeah, you're going to get, I mean, there's 5 jokes in the whole movie. I mean,
it's good jokes too.
No. I mean, just, they're right there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually probably more than that, but you're not going to be dying of hilarity. I mean, I laughed pretty well a couple of times, but not a lot of other people in the theater were laughing, you know, just because, you know, or me and you got a couple of the jokes that, you know, this isn't take your kids to see Guardians of the Galaxy movie, in my opinion. This is a movie that, this is sort of Marvel's DC movie, if that makes sense. It's almost more for comic book people than, you know, again, the character's a little obscure. If you're not the only, most of these people, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, finally got a movie. And it's like, yeah, but first of all, you didn't even know who Black Panther was until he popped up in Civil War. So cool your jets. You know what I'm saying? I've been reading Black Panther for a long time.
Right.
And to be honest, I'd have rather had a War Machine movie 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? When this shit started.
Yeah. That was when it was Terrence Howard.
Well, also true. Don't get me upset.
I do want. Oh, I would love to talk about that too one day. But whatever.
We're gonna get into some Terrence Howard when we talk about some Philip K. Dick. I didn't have to say it like that, but yeah.
I can't get over that episode. He was
super good.
He was.
Anna Paquin was good too. Honestly,
she was good.
Anywho,
he was next fucking level good.
Anywho. Yeah. Just real quick though, Shuri with them like Black Panther fists.
Dope. She was a badass.
No, I actually really, really liked her.
She's probably going to be like the breakout star.
I would love her. See, now again, her and Nakia could easily have some type of
side.
I'm going to call it a buddy cop film, but I mean, right? They could totally. Nakia could do some mission or something with Shuri as like the tech support. I mean, well, you know what I'm saying.
I know,
like,
I know, dude,
I'm into it. I'm all over that. You know. Oh my god, that'd be so dope. Because Shuri basically has like the whole like 007 layer. You know what I'm saying? She's got like the gadgets. Oh, hey, what do you need? Some of these EMP balls? Like I got these. You got the little bracelet with the stuff and it's got little things and she's hacking into shit. I mean, it was dope. Yeah. I'd actually be more excited for that than Black Panther 2. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
The buddy cop Shuri and Nakia take New York or something.
I feel like we can just keep rambling about dumb shit at this point.
Let's cut it. Cut it. So, yeah, having said that, I think my score might be lower than yours. I don't know. All right, so anyways, four numbers. Numbering purposes. So, grand scale of Marvel movies so far. Now, I don't over-romanticize Winter Soldier like everybody else. I don't think that that's the greatest Marvel movie of all time. At this point in time, I don't think there is one, which means I also don't think this is the one either. I think a lot of these movies are fantastic in a lot of different ways, blah, blah, blah. So, to be honest, Thor Ragnarok is probably my current front runner. After seeing that, I loved it. I do like me some Jeff Goldblum. So this movie, as of right now, I think I am going to sit on an 8.5. It's fantastic. It's got a couple of thin lines. I don't mind. But I got to grade accordingly. And to be quite frank, no offense, the weakest actor is probably Chadwick, my opinion. I love him. I love him to death. But Michael B. Jordan, all these other actresses that played pivotal characters... Crushed.
I don't even know if that's the correct word.
I mean, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Koye, Shuri, and Nakia, I mean, crushed. Fantastic jobs. He also did great, but I think he's a little low-key at times, and I get it. I get the character, so I'm not talking shit about that aspect of it. It just, with those type of, and that's what you want. Honestly, that's what makes the movie fantastic is the strong supporting support. Cast. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a good compliment to all the other actors in the movie. That's all I'm saying. But all that being said, I'm going to hold an 8.5. And when it comes out on digital, maybe we can do another podcast and I'll raise it. Because I'll probably watch this movie 100 times.
We never do it.
I actually think I want to do a Justice League one. Like a revamped Justice League now that it's out on digital. But anywho. That's where I'm at. Where are you at? 15.
Well, here's the problem. Like, we've, unbeknownst to the listeners, we've paused it for a good 5-10 minutes to try and figure this shit out because I usually go in with a number in mind and I didn't have one and I still don't. Like, I
You're allowed to give it a high number if you want.
No, I do. Well, of course it's going to get a high number. It's a fucking great movie. I don't. Like, I keep thinking about some of the things that, like, annoyed me, but that is outweighed by a lot of the awesome stuff. And then some of it just... I like the fact that it wasn't, like, your standard, you know, we're going to throw in the comic relief every 30
seconds.
No,
I love the fact that it was actually...
It was a more serious movie.
And to be honest, that's why this thing's getting... I don't want to say low ratings, but that's why a lot of people aren't getting this movie. They think it's something that it isn't.
Well, too many people are looking for the fun ride of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, and that's why I bring Guardians up all the time. And Thor Ragnarok, which I love,
yeah,
is hilarious.
Yeah, people are looking too much for the fun aspect, and there are a lot of people, I mean, I hate to say it because I'm doing my best to not have it be about this at all, but too many people are hung up on the whole race thing.
Yep.
And it's fucking super annoying because it shouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, this movie, to me, legitimately has nothing to do with race because it is the Black Panther. I have piles of comics, and I haven't honestly gotten all of them, and we talked about it too, and we might... do a Black Panther comic roast at some point in time in the near future, which would be ideal since the movie's out, or maybe have it released once this comes out on digital or something. That would be good. It
gives me time to read them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I haven't read them all because there's so many right now. There's the Wakanda series. There's Black Panther and the Crew. There's Black Panther. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now. And it's impossible to keep up with all these comics. You got to just sit down and read them all at once, basically, is the way I like to do it, like binging.
Yeah, right.
But those comics are primarily set in a lot of African settings. A lot of them have to do with a lot of things that were going on here, a lot of civil diplomacy internal to Wakanda itself. A lot of it has to do with that. And P.S., like Okoye and the Guard... are actually, again, I don't want to say like, oh, the book was better, but in the books, like, they don't play, like, they're legit. I mean, they were legit here, and she was legit in that casino scene, but yeah. Anyways, I'm rambling now.
Yeah, I mean, just based on...
I hope you were thinking of a number while I was just rambling.
Yeah, I'm just doing like, my best. I'm going to go 9. I'm going to have to.
It's fine. It's a good number.
It is. It's a fucking great
number. Phenomenal number. We're hating on it.
No, I don't hate this movie whatsoever. I kind of want to go see it again now. But
I actually think that this might be a Ultra Screen Tuesday. Maybe not this Tuesday, maybe the next one. But I'm definitely into seeing this again on the big screen with some big noise.
With some big popcorn. I just love the fact that Marvel went away from their standard formula, in my opinion. Some people might not feel that way, but...
No, definitely, and people that we went with didn't get it because of that reason. You think you're going to see Thor Ragnarok or Guardians, and this ain't that.
Right.
And I was actually fine, because I love the DC movies that everybody hates, because they're too dark and too serious, and we want Groot.
Yeah, dude, have you ever read a comic
book? You know what
book?
I mean? Yeah,
they like, are fucking dark and
they're,
serious.
They're normally more horrible than you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
So... comic books don't really hold the comic end up unless you're reading Deadpool or something.
I did read an entire Rocket Raccoon and Groot comic where Groot was telling the story, so every single word in the comic was Groot. And yes, I read the whole thing and looked at all the pictures, and yes, I thought it was great. So it is what
it is. The best written comic of the year.
Yeah, right. I could have
read it. Well, the pictures will help tell the story, I'm sure. No.
Kinda.
Not really.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. Anywho, there you have it. That was Black Panther. We are the review and roast, comic roast, movie roast, you may or may not like it type of people.
Yep.
You can find all of our written reviews at reviewandroast.com. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. We're also, on the iTunes and the Stitcher, and you can find us in quite a few different places. So, I didn't mention it in the last one, and you're probably all turned it off by now. But we also, all of our podcasts are now going to start being put onto the YouTube. So if you can head over and find that, you can find a link on our Facebook page and subscribe to that. And then we can, the more subscribers to get, the more I can basically customize the channel, and then we can start doing some serious stuff on there, hopefully. So there you have it. You can find me at XorSnext. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. And until then, have a good week.